Everyone, welcome to Withering Effect episode 65. Today's date is October 5th, 2020, not October 3rd. Those of you in the pre-show will understand. I am Duds, or Duds versus known to the rest of the interwebs.
I'm Jimbo. I know what date it is. You may know me as Jimbo Slice 23. It's a pretty big week, so what have you been up to?
Nothing.
Nothing else.
Not a lot of real Minecraft. The urge to play just hadn't been there this week. I don't know how to really put it. So my grandmother is moving back to North Carolina this week. Well, she moved back yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So all this week was kind of prepping her moving up. And since I am her internet technician, and as of 2 years ago, I converted all of her TV, phone, and stuff to just pure internet. I had to do a lot of phone calling, getting things together that way. Basically jumping on her computer from my computer. Because when she got a new computer, I made sure she got the business Windows 10 version so I can jump on there at any point I wanted.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was doing a lot of that.
Gotta help grandma.
Yeah. And my hockey team won the Stanley Cup on Monday. Go Lightning.
Oh, that's right.
And that just kind of put me in celebration mood all week.
Yeah.
So a lot of our random times the past 3 weeks trying to record the show has been because every time we go to record the show, my hockey team is playing, and Jimbo and Carl have been kind of nice enough to bounce the schedule around to make sure I didn't miss a hockey game. So thank you guys.
No problem.
I didn't want to talk about it because I've got this weird, like, don't jinx it type thing. So I didn't talk about my hockey team winning until they actually won the cup. So yay.
Yeah, I didn't get too much information off you with the whole hockey season. I knew you guys are doing well, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't know you were one game away from winning the cup. So congratulations.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Thank you very much. I didn't do anything but support the team, but there were definitely rituals I'd have to go through pre-game. If I didn't do it, we lost.
Yeah, I think, well, a lot of sports fans have those different kind mm-hmm. of rituals. Lucky shirt and all that.
Oh, it went way deeper than that. There's a point where my roommate had to be wearing a blue pair of shorts he wore at the beginning of the playoffs. He wasn't allowed in the room. I had to have a glass of chocolate milk that I couldn't finish till after the game. And I'm sorry, a hockey game's almost 3 hours long. That glass of milk was warm by the end of the game.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's how superstitious I got.
Mm-hmm. That's very superstitious.
Yeah, what about you?
I put out a video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as of right now, I'm planning out my base, and I got the main shape and structure of it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, there's so much I have to do before actually really record anything. I can time lapse it, but I'm still not positive what the tower shape is going to be. But I have the whole shape of the bottom of the base ready to go, and I got a lot of carpet to place, got a lot of glass to place.
Mm-hmm.
That makes for bad content, you know, people watching me place glass, unless you time-lapse it all, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, you stop, gather resources. It's going to be a long process. So I kind of, when I put this episode out, I kind of rushed it. I felt like it was rushed. I wasn't too proud of it. It's one of those instances where you're kind of,
mm-hmm.
You know, do I put this out? Could I do better? It was one of those. So I don't know. The next one I'm going to try to get out within a week, but it might be a little longer just because of that. If I can find anything else to gather content in the server, I'll go ahead and do that. But I really want to not try to rush anything
mm-hmm.
and put out the content that I feel like I'm capable of.
Yeah, definitely don't ever rush anything,
because
mm-hmm. I hate when I go back and I look at episodes and I'm like, I could have done that so much better. Why didn't I?
Yeah, like there's a point where at the end I start exploring a dungeon, and there could have easily been music in the background, and I didn't apply that, and I was like, man, it really could have brought the ambience of the cave out, you know, and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
that was a completely missed opportunity because I rushed it and it was an oversight. But yeah, I'm gonna try not to do that anymore. But besides that, you know, we just did the Minecraft live.
That was a decent amount of planning in itself. Granted, Carl did most of it.
Mm-hmm.
But me and you talking in the background, like, how are we going to do this? Or how are we going to do that? What if it's this? And we both kind of hit on what 117 was going to be about. We're going to talk about that more in the main topic, though. So no spoilers, but remind me to bring up the fact how we both guessed correctly this time around.
Yeah, we did. We were nailing them.
So Minecraft news. Obviously, we're going to talk about 117 in the main topic, so we're going to skip that. Some other news, though. Minecraft will join Super Smash Bros.
Yeah.
Steve, Alex, Zombie, and Enderman will all be fighters come the next update. I forgot which one it will be.
I don't know.
I don't have Super Smash Bros. For the Switch this time around. And that was one of my favorite N64 games, was the original Smash Bros.
Oh, I loved it. Now, I didn't realize they update it. It's an updatable game. It's not, you know, for sale.
Yes.
Okay. Usually you have to buy it when they do that.
Well, you have to buy the Switch version.
Okay.
And then they've been releasing DLCs for the Switch version.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
When they, it's kind of like they keep updating it until they feel that they have something better. And then they release the next version of Super Smash Bros.
All right. That makes sense.
Also, we have some Minecraft Dungeons news. There's a new DLC coming called Howling Peaks. I didn't see a date for that, but I might have missed it. There's a free update, including a harder game mode called Apocalypse Plus.
Mm.
Also, there's rumors of it being cross-platform, finally.
Oh.
I always kind of thought it was, but maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, I wasn't too sure either. That is a lot of stuff for Dungeons.
Yeah, and you guys know us. We both enjoy Dungeons, but we still haven't bought it yet.
Yeah, I enjoyed the original game a lot better, so...
Mm-hmm.
And I guess till I get the financial funds to actually buy it.
Yeah, I've got so many, like, what was it? Star Wars Squadrons came out this week, and I've been wanting that, but it's $40, and I'm just like, it's kind of like a flight simulator on steroids, so, and I'm not really big on flight sims, but I love Star Wars, so, I don't know, I can't cough up the money right now.
Yeah, me neither. Money's tight. It's tight to just, you know, the year.
Yeah, the way 2020 has been, I don't chance anything.
Yeah, it's best to save what you got, you know, try to hold what you can, I guess.
Well, not to mention, I just bought 3 brand new dog beds for the spoiled brat snoring to my left. So I'm wanting to revamp my stream a little bit, not so much the looks like I normally do, but like my stream deck and everything like that, which means bringing back Puppy Cam.
Ooh.
The way her bed is right now is such a huge bed. She'll always sleep off camera because the bed's so large. Even if I put the camera in the middle of the bed, she'll find a way to be off camera.
Camera shy.
Yeah, I got her a little bit smaller bed that's big enough for her, but will line up good with the camera window. So Puppy Cam will be making a comeback once the beds come in at some point.
That's good. Need a comfortable Susie.
Well, see, the problem is, so she fights ear infections a lot. And so I'm constantly having to clean her ears, which means her ears will go from smelling really bad to smelling really medical all within a week. And that smell gets on the beds. And even though I wash her beds like every other week, her beds just smell constantly now. So I found a reputable source where I can buy beds cheaper. So now whenever she just stinks the bed up, instead of trying to wash it and put all this chemical on it, and I'm just throwing the bed out and buying a new bed.
Yeah. Might be best.
Yeah, it is. My office smells like dog, and I do not like it. Anyways, listen to comments. Trying to move quickly, and I keep getting caught off guard. This is a email from Ross. They say, I heard the VR discussion and wanted to weigh in as VR is the primary way I play Minecraft. Minecraft is already so immersive that when you add VR, it's like you never want to leave. I understand the skepticism and don't fully disagree that it's niche, but VR is getting better and more affordable than ever. See, Oculus Quest 2. I'm sorry. With the cough drop in my mouth, I'm running out of breath because I'm trying to breathe through a stopped up nose. However, it's completely ruined traditional flat games for me. And while having space is nice, my favorite game in VR is the board game Settlers of Catan. My roommate has that game. We've just never sat down and played it. So keep your eye out on VR and don't write it off so soon. Thanks, Ross.
Yeah, thank you.
Jimbo, thoughts?
I'm going to stick with my original thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to really put it into words, how I explained it before.
Yeah.
Just not a fan of the virtual reality experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Unless you have like the ones you can stand and run and actually do things yourself, I understand with the Oculus, you have your headset and you have a controller, so you can jump and move a lot with the controller in your hand. And that, I feel like that takes away from the virtuality experience, having a controller. It'd be cool if it was more hands-free type of deal, which maybe it is. I don't know. I never really looked into the Oculus Quest 2. Have you looked at it?
I looked at it a little bit, and it does have two controllers with joysticks and buttons and stuff on it.
Yeah.
The price is still $300, though. And that's on top of having to have a PC that could handle running VR. And I'm not sure what level of PC it takes to run VR. I know right now I'm running on a Ryzen 1700X and a GTX 1070. And at the time when I built this computer, it was $1,200.
Yeah.
So, granted, that was years ago when Ryzen first came out. I don't think the price is there yet. I still think it's too niche. I think the Wii is going to be my going example, because when the Wii first came out, it was like the big bad new console, and the way the Wii sticks and everything moved and stuff, that was the new way to game. And even then, I was just like, no, I have a feeling they're going to go back to controllers at some point. And the Switch came out, and while it still has the, I forget, the motion controls, that's what I'm trying to say. It still has that. That's no longer the primary use for most games on the Switch. And then they come out with this pro controller that is seriously the best controller I've ever played with. So if you guys have a Switch, it's well worth the money to buy one of those. Yeah, I think VR kind of falls in that thing. It's great technology, and I think I would want to more use it in like sim racing or sim flight, like Star Wars Squadrons has VR, and I could see where that's perfect, because Squadrons like forces you to be in the cockpit the entire time. There's no third person in that, so to me that would be perfect for it. But guys like me, I still run into the Minecraft in general makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
I can only imagine what that's going to do. We're seeing like even 3D movies not do as well as they used to. Even that fad's starting to kind of die down. I don't know.
I'm kind of waiting for the technology to get there to where it feels right. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. I wouldn't mind trying it, but I don't think I'm going to spend $300 to chance it.
Yeah.
You know, if I buy it, you know, what if I don't like it? And I bought this $300 headset for nothing. So I definitely want to try it before purchasing anything like it.
I think you can get a $50 headset that your phone can hook to, and you can at least watch movies and stuff in VR.
Oh, yeah, I have one of those, actually.
I've never tried one of those.
Yeah, see, those aren't bad. I never use it. It sits in my cupboard. I think I got two of them sit in my cupboard. So that's how much of a fan I am of that.
Yeah, I don't know. But thank you for the email. We'll agree to disagree. But then again, maybe we're the exception. Me and Jimbo have done stuff different than most people for a while now. So,
right.
Thanks again, Ross.
Yeah, thanks for the email.
Love hearing from you guys. And speaking of hearing from you guys, the best way to get in contact with us is the Discord. Not to mention the only place where you can vote for Mob of the Week.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is this week. Special. 1 week only. This week's Discord ad is going to be brought to you by YDYT, friend of the show, friend of the server. Thank you so much, YD. Take it away.
Hey everyone, I'm YDYT and I'm a member of the Weathering Effect Discord. It's a great place to hang out with fellow listeners like me and the people who work on the show. So join today and let's discuss the game we love. There are links in the show notes.
All right, thanks, Whitey. And if you guys would like to record an ad for the Discord server, just get in touch with me, Jimbo, or Carl. We'll hook you up with the script. We actually need more people to read scripts because Block of the Week is obviously being changed every once in a while because we're slowly running out of blocks.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many.
Yeah, this week was going to be a special one. We decided to do the Minecraft Live mob vote on our Discord server to see if it would go any differently than it did in the show. Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, wait till you hear the winner of this.
Yeah, your choices were the Moobloom, the Chillager. I'm not calling it the Isologger. I know that's not how you pronounce it either, but come on, it's Isologger. Or the Glow Squid.
I agree with Chillager, but the winner of this week is... Glow Squid. Surprise, surprise. Glow Squid won. I voted Isolager or Isolager. Mm-hmm. Chillager. I agree. Chillager would have been, that's a missed opportunity. Should have been Chillager. One vote was a deciding factor.
Wow.
25 votes for the Glow Squid, 24 for the Isolager. So it was pretty similar to the official vote. Moo Bloom, by the way, had 5. So
no love for the Moo Bloom.
No love, especially from me. Okay, a couple things about the Glow Squid. It is a squid that glows. That's it. That's all.
Well, some other things is they mentioned that it would be deep ocean.
Oh, okay.
Or cold ocean, maybe, when they does spawn in. So it brings a little life to more lifeless areas of the ocean, which is one reason I voted for it. But I think the bigger reason people didn't vote for Chillager is because Phantoms.
Yeah.
I think Phantoms has ruined the mob vote, and it was the first mob vote. So my thought process is voting for a mob that's hostile is not going to go well in these mob votes ever again, because I think the fear of the hostile mob becoming more of a nuisance than a viable tactic of playing. Like the Chillager, I thought could be cool if you could have them constantly respawning and maybe they dropped ice so you could do a AFK ice farm, but there was no guarantee that.
Yeah.
For all you know, every time you went to a top of a mountaintop, you'd have one of these guys there and they would just become annoying to have to constantly kill. What if you want to build your base up there and they're just constantly spawning up there, throwing ice blocks at you? Too many risks.
Yeah, you didn't get too much information. And as we were watching it live, well, before they did the mob vote, they introduced a hostile mob. So that could have persuaded people to go passive. They showed the same clip as they did on Twitter about the mobs. And I was hoping to get a little bit more information.
Same.
To persuade me from the Isolager. But I think I went that way because of the new mechanics it presented. And it just does a lot more. I felt like the Glow Squid and the Moo Bloom were kind of reskins. Which Isolager kind of is a reskin, but they have different functions.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think, you know, like, again, we didn't get too much from the video from Minecraft Live.
Yeah, I'm hoping Glow Squid will drop something useful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not counting on it, though. And trying to think of all the cool stuff that Glow Squid can do, I think I saw somewhere, maybe on Reddit, I can't remember where. I wish I would have saved the link. Somebody thought that maybe the Glow Squid would drop a glowing ink pouch, which you could put into a potion, and it would give you the glow effect. Or if you put it into a splash potion with lingering, you can maybe throw it at a mob, and any mob that walks in there would then get the glow effect. So
those aren't bad ideas.
They're not bad ideas.
Now, I feel like glowing and lighting are two different things. Like glowing usually illuminates at night, and I was hoping possibly to get an item that would glow at night, not in the day.
Same.
Like maybe you can craft it into a block that, you know, looks like a regular block. I don't know what color it would be, but at night it would glow, and that would that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Now we did see a lot of things and a lot of new lighting sources and a lot of things that glowed.
Mm-hmm.
There's also glowstone. It could drop that. Different possibilities.
So
crystals.
I'm right there with you. And what's a glow source and what's a light source?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm right there with you and hoping that you can make a block glow. My big fix for Glow Squid is that it drops a glowing ink sac, which only glows in the darkness, and that you could craft it like you can craft mossy cobble, mossy stone brick, and everything like that. And instead of the mossy texture on it, it would look like a normal stone block unless you have it under light level of 10, and then the quote-unquote mossy texture would glow.
I like that.
It has to be under a light level of 10 for it to work.
I agree.
It's kind of weird because you're like, oh, I want to use it everywhere. Well, now I got mobs spawning everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of distinguishes the difference between the glowing and the lighting.
Mm-hmm. I felt this was a nice compromise. It's not a light source. Not that. It's just atmospheric stuff, and I had the idea from Luminous Stone, which is a real thing. You can find them in the world.
Mm.
So felt like it would be natural to kind of make Luminous Stone in Minecraft.
Yeah, see why not. Do you have anything on the Moobloom before we move off of this? Because you know my thoughts.
Yeah. So a Moobloom was supposed to be friends with bees, and honestly, I couldn't really think of anything.
Those are my enemy.
Yeah.
So friend of an enemy is kind of an enemy.
Yeah. I don't know. We have so many cow effects right now, and I was kind of just, I was excited when I saw the brown cow.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? If a mushroom cow gets struck by lightning, it turns into the brown cow or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, there's no difference between that and the mushroom cow. They both do stew or soup or whatever like that. And it's just like, the only difference is the texture. It's like, I wanted something better. So I think the blue bloom was just going to be a lost cause altogether.
Yeah.
Their best bet was to explain in depth what they had planned for it, and they did not do that for any mob. So
yeah, the best part about the Moobloom is it distracted the bees.
Yep.
That was the best part about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want another cow. I do glow squid over the Moobloom.
And I really think the one mob that won the vote is whichever one was going to be least annoying. Brought the most atmosphere, because I think people were complaining. It's like, hey, it's time to start really bringing some atmospheric stuff. Especially, I don't know why my mouth just whistled there, especially after the Nether update, where the atmosphere just got ramped to 11. The atmosphere in the Nether update was so good, and they've touched on it a little bit in 117, which we'll go over, but not enough. More atmosphere, please.
Yeah, that's one thing I was really pushing for. Still, I mean, there's still time.
Still time.
Maybe it's in the cards.
Yeah. We just saw the beginning. It's nowhere near done. They're aiming for a release like 116, so that's a ton of time. They added so much content in 116 from when they released it, or from when they showed it off to when they released it. So this is just the beginning, I have a feeling.
Yep. And do you want to start with the beginning? You want to get to the main topic?
Let's start with the beginning. So the first thing we're introduced to is Lush Caves. It is the Caves and Cliffs update. I have a gripe about the name, but we'll go over that later too. So, everyone, we got the cave update.
Yeah.
So you rag on me all you want. I'm still not happy about it, but
I'm pretty excited.
I'm not going to complain about it. Like I said, I felt there was other things the game needed more, but if we got a cave update, I'd go with it. And they did introduce some stuff that I think could be really cool. So, Lush Caves.
Mm.
First thing we notice is the azalea tree.
Yep.
It's basically an oak tree with different leaf blocks on it.
Okay. The wood's not different?
No, it's the same wood. At least from the video, and they did say that most of the textures and stuff is program art. So it might be a full-on different wood block. I kind of hope it is. I kind of hope they change the texture and it's not just an oak tree with different leaf blocks. Because we have a dark oak tree, which is a different wood type, but the same leaf blocks.
Yeah, that's annoying. And that messes with your inventory a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So we have that. And then that's the marker on where Lush Caves is. Usually you'll find a hole near there you can climb down because there's vines.
Yeah, below the tree.
Everyone's now starting to notice that the dirt block underneath the azalea tree is different. And I'm going with that's because it's not a dirt block. It's going to be something called a root block.
Okay.
This block seems to travel all the way down to the actual cave. And in some camera instances, you see like these tiny little, I want to call them fingers, but it's not really that. Think of it more like upside down brown grass coming out of these root blocks.
Hmm.
So I'm thinking maybe if you bone meal root block, these little fingers would come out. Really cool looking.
I don't think I've noticed it. Look it through the video.
The best way you can see it is when they show the upside down flower that I'm calling the particle flower.
Okay.
It's a big pink flower and it puts off a small amount of particles. Right behind it, you can see the root block texture I'm talking about.
Yeah, I was always distracted by that flower when I saw it because of the particles. That's probably why I missed that.
Yep. Also in the cave, they have what I call baby tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically just looks like a bigger sapling.
Yeah.
Or a small azalea tree. There were some with the azalea flowers and some without it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like there's different textures of it. Couple. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if maybe that's going to be the new sapling texture. If so, I'm going to get super excited because I would love that. I'd be using flower pots and stuff for these little saplings like crazy.
Yeah, I was never a fan of using of flowers, really, you know, using flowers throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I would use saplings in those clay pots.
Yeah.
So that would have been, we might be able to do that.
Might be able to. It looked like they had grass that had all of its sides covered.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I didn't notice this at first because I was like, well, that's the way my game looks.
Right.
They just went ahead and updated the grass texture. Turns out it's probably what's called a moss block.
Yeah, I think most people are calling it a moss block.
Yeah, this moss block also has a, what I'm calling a carpet texture, where you can, or carpet layer, more likely, where you can craft it into a carpet-shaped block and set it down so it gives just a little bit of texture compared to other things. I don't know if it's going to be spawnable like carpet or non-spawnable like carpet, but that's there.
If I had to guess, I'd say it would be non-spawnable.
I would think so.
You would think it would act as if it was carpet. It looks just like grass.
Mm-hmm.
So it would really help. And, you know, when you make things spawn proof, you won't need the lighting in the grass anymore. You can actually terraform better with these.
Yeah, sure. And but we don't know how they grow or anything like that. So we don't know if they're farmable.
Right.
Or if you're just constantly going to have to find these little lush caves and rip them to all.
Yeah.
We have, honestly, one of my top three things in the lush caves, and that's glowberry vines.
Yeah.
I think they glowberry vines look so cool, and they're going to add so much atmosphere. I kind of wish you could pluck the glowberries, kind of like you can a berry bush, and eat them, but they didn't show any signs of that, so I don't know if that's going to be possible.
Yeah, that was probably the first thing I've noticed. I mean, besides, you know, the azalea tree at the beginning, as soon as they went underground, I was like, there's a light source.
Yeah.
There's another light source. It's hanging from the vines. I didn't expect something like that. Everyone's looking for new light sources, so that's awesome. I'm really glad to see something like that. And like you said, to be able to pluck them would be wonderful. That would be pretty ideal if we could do that.
Also, we need to say this before we go too much further. King Bee Dogs noted in a lot of their video footage, they made certain blocks glow that aren't going to glow in the game. They just made it glow so you could physically see what was going on in the video and it wasn't covered in darkness.
Yeah, a lot of that was ores.
Yeah.
All the ores glowed, so that's not a new thing. It's just the lighting effect.
Yeah, made it really easy for us to kind of tell what was going on.
Yeah, just so you could see under there.
The next plant in this lush cave is the drip leaf plant, which grows to different levels, and you can use it as platforming. The longer you stand on the leaf, the more likely it is to drop you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is, as of now, a set time. It's not like a random tick, though I think it should be a random tick. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Because as of right now, the drip leaf plant, yeah, I could take it or leave it. It's not going to bother me. I think it was more of a map maker's tool, which I'm cool with. But as of right now, I don't see much use of it.
Now, depending on if it's spawnable, this could be huge for farming.
That's true.
Because a mob can spawn on it, and it'll eventually drop them down.
Didn't even think of that.
We don't know if it's spawnable or not. So it could be a lot bigger than we initially thought.
Very true. Didn't even think.
It was brought up on YouTube or on Twitter. Someone brought it up. Can't remember. But I was like, wow, that's an eye-opener. So look out for that. We're still not sure yet, though.
Mm-hmm. And the last but probably most important thing in the lush cave is the axolotl.
Right.
I say axolotl. I heard some people call it oxolotl, but every time I see it, like the pronunciation written, they say axolotl. So I'm calling it the axolotl.
It's hard to pronounce it the way it's lettered or worded.
Yeah.
Or spelled. Yeah, axolotl is how they're pronouncing it.
It's a lot like the Strider. It's based off a real animal, and it's a lot like the Strider in the fact that it's so ugly, it's cute.
Yeah.
And the best part is you can tame them. So I think to tame them as of right now, it's you just swim up to them and you pick them up in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives them the tag where they're tamed to you personally. And you can create your own little army of axolotls and they will attack other mobs with you,
mm-hmm.
which is something really cool. And when they take damage or they're getting close to death, they kind of fake death and they just kind of like roll over. And so hostile mobs won't attack them and they'll recoup their health and then go back to attacking, which is a really cool feature.
Yeah, they played it. Also heard that they're hinting at they'll be able to heal you, possibly.
Mm.
Yeah,
that might be cool.
I think I want to say it was King Bee Dogs like hinted at that.
Mm-hmm.
Not too sure. Or no, that was at the end at the show. So it was the other guest, Urlaf.
Yep.
Ulraf, right? Ulraf.
We'll have to ask him sometime.
Yeah, if we ever talk to him.
I've been seeing images of these guys in different colors, but none of them were official Mojang or Mojang accounts. So as of right now, I just know that they're pink and they're weird looking and they're adorable. And I think everybody's going to have a whole army of these guys following them around.
Yeah. They didn't really say if they're breedable. You didn't really see a baby variant. So as far as we know, what spawns in is that's all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's kind of it for Lush Caves. Do we want to move on to Dripstone Caves?
Yeah, I got the Dripstone Caves here. That was a pretty big one, though, the Lush Caves.
It was.
Dripstone Caves, they've added stalactites and stalagmites,
mm-hmm.
which I thought looked great. The stalactites, which are the ones in the ceiling, they drip water from them. You can, which can refill cauldrons. It's pretty useful.
Mm-hmm.
The stalagmites, which are on the ground, can cause damage if any mob were to fall on them, and I'm pretty sure if the player also. So that could be very, very useful for farming also.
Well, and I think the stalactite can also cause damage if you break it and it falls on something.
Yes. Yeah, and it does become an item, so you can
mm-hmm.
pick that up and take that with you to use in your builds. Now, we don't know if you can place them on any block or if it has to be a stone block.
Yeah, we never actually saw anyone place it, so placing it might not be a real thing right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you might not be able to. Maybe it's just an item for a crafting recipe. We're not too sure.
Yeah, the only thing I'm not so fancy about them is the texture. And I was kind of hoping, so I like the texture in general, but it does that whole four-sided cross texture thing.
Yeah.
And I really wish Mojang would start moving into more 3D textures. Basically, it's going to be as soon as Vanilla Tweaks puts out the 3D texture for that, that's what it's going to be. I've been doing it with rails and ladders ever since. That. It's like, I really wish they would start moving to these 3D textures. I don't know how hard it is on the game to do that, but please, Mojang.
Only argument I could see is if it was in 3D, it's kind of circular, and that's yes. like a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can be circular.
Hey,
in Minecraft.
We're going to pull the what they do when they don't give us concrete stairs and slabs and tell us, well, it's so you can be more creative. Hey, give me a 3D texture that doesn't have to be circular. Be creative. I'm going to get slapped for that
one. Yeah, I guess they could have made the spikes non-circular in 3D. You know, they could have made them a blocky and spiky at the same time. They do grow, apparently. I mean, you see a thicker into a thinner, just like a spike.
Yeah, and they're all variations of heights and everything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the texture itself, but I just wish it was 3D.
Now, I don't imagine that bone meal can grow these because it's a stone. It's not like a plant. So I'm curious how they grow and if you can grow them.
Do you have to water it?
It might be like bamboo. You place it and it grows rapidly or over time, maybe.
Yeah. Time affected blocks seems to be a theme this update too.
Also in the Dripstone Cave, there's an unknown block. In the video footage that you noticed?
Yeah, so when you look closely at the dripstones in one of the frames, there's a, like, vein of blocks that just doesn't look like stone. And I can't tell if the stalactites, because it was a stalactite that I was looking at, was on this one certain block, or if they were on both this block and a stone block. A lot of these new blocks weren't mentioned in the video at all. So it just could be, again, random textures that they were using for video purposes. But there was a different kind of stone block. It looked like a really light gray block, almost like powdered concrete, the light gray powdered concrete, but it was a solid. So I don't know. There was talks of maybe marble coming into this update. So that might be it.
I mean, it makes sense, you know, for caves, you know, different stone variants, getting a couple of those.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily get to see that in the video, but I did see a picture someone put out of, you know, all the blocks that they've noticed. And I saw it in there and I was like, oh, didn't see that. But apparently it's in the dripstone caves.
Yeah. Basically in every section, there was a new block that wasn't talked about.
But yeah, besides that, that's all for the dripstone caves. Still looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. The deep dark is the next section and probably the section I think most people are excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Again, first thing you see is an unknown block type. I'm calling this block type shale or maybe even limestone. It's a little too dark to be like a natural limestone, but hey, to each their own.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of looks like a brick texture.
Yeah, kind of. Like maybe a natural brick look.
Yeah, like layers, kind of.
And that's why I call it shale, but it could very well be some completely different block, and I'm just making stuff up.
Yeah, not too sure yet.
So the first things you notice is this new block and a new location, which I'm referring to as the barrel room. It's a structure that houses some barrels, a furnace, a bunch of cobwebs, some oak logs. That's it. Also, there were candles in here. They were placed around, which looks like the formation of sea pickles,
mm-hmm.
but obviously with a candle texture. The big thing I noticed, there were two candle colors, a black candle and a white candle.
Yeah.
Maybe that means we can dye candles or craft candles that are different colors.
Mm-hmm. Maybe get a wax
mm-hmm.
variant or some kind of wax block or wax item.
Yeah, I'm going to assume you have to do something with some honey, and then you have to use a dye and some string to craft a candle, maybe.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to make friends with these bees eventually. I mean, it looks like they're going to... There's another instance where wax could come in as of use, so...
Yeah.
I might have to make friends with them. I don't know. It makes me nervous.
So also down in the deep dark, there's things called skulk. We have skulk growth and skulk sensor block. Sensor block is probably the thing most people are excited about, at least in the redstone community. So this skulk sensor block will sense vibrations and send out a vibration signal, which can be bounced off other sensor blocks and also a new mob called the Warden. And this Warden guy is big, and he's scary, and he's derpy looking, but he whacks you hard. Yeah, he's blind, so all he's doing is relying on these vibration signals.
Yep.
So you can easily distract it by, like, the King Big Dogs threw snowballs in the video. I think if you throw arrows, it'll distract it. I'm really curious to how they react with fireworks.
Yeah.
I think that would be an awesome thing to mess with him. But they pack a punch. King Bee Dogs is wearing full-on netherite armor. Not enchanted, but full-on netherite armor. And it took two hits to take him out.
Yeah, it looks like you're going to have to do something similar to the Enderman tactic. You know, get under a two-block-high area to defeat this thing. But again, if it hears you walk, I guess you can sneak around and get around it. But as soon as you go to walk away or whatever, it will pick up that sense, just like the skulk sensor block, same mechanics as that. Apparently, yeah, we're still not too sure, but yeah, it'll chase you down, and it roars at you and runs pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
It came at him pretty fast, and that was pretty terrifying, if you ask me.
Yeah, it'll also flicker light levels in the area. This is a player effect. So whenever a warden is near you, any light you have near you will start to flicker.
Oh.
Yeah. I saw that on a King Bee Dog's tweet. He's saying this is a player effect. It's not dynamic lighting or anything like that.
Yeah, I was wondering what he meant by that. That's good you're able to clarify. I didn't, wasn't too sure. That's cool.
Very cool.
Now I like the warden even more.
Warden's definitely one of my more favorite ones. They're scary as crap, and I'm sure I will have to change my pants after I find one for the first time. But
yeah, keep that pinky finger strong if you play with the keyboard, because they are pretty terrifying.
Definitely.
I want to go back to the skulk sensor real quick.
Okay.
You can also concentrate the sensor. Like, it will give off a redstone signal from a distance. A lot of people call it wireless redstone, which is pretty much what it is. If you put wool around certain areas, it won't send that signal that way.
Yeah, you're basically deafening the signal.
Yeah, which is also cool. And figured I'd note that.
Yeah, but that's kind of it for the deep dark. Do you want to move on to the next segment?
Real quick, a lot of those colors are similar to an end portal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are speculating that the warden might have something to do with the end area.
Maybe.
What is it? Not the dungeon. Stronghold.
Yeah. King Bee Dogs did mention in a tweet, what do you think it's guarding?
Yeah. Like, why would they name it Guardian or Warden? Because a warden, in layman's terms, is a prison, not a prison guard, a prison chief.
Yeah.
What is it?
I got what you're saying.
He runs the prison, so this guy is guarding something apparently, but we don't know yet. We want to move on?
Yeah, let's move on. We have little time, lots to cover.
Yes. We have the amethyst geodes, which produce the crystals, which I thought were really cool. We noticed a wind chime sound.
Yep.
It's the first thing you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, these crystals can grow on all sides of the blocks, and the blocks cannot be removed. Or possibly removed, but you can't move them. You can't take them around as an item and grow these crystals elsewhere. I kind of like that.
I kind of don't.
No? I kind of like it. They said it was similar to a spawner.
Yeah, I got what they were doing and what they were thinking and everything. But I think if you ask any farm maker, they would much rather be able to take supplies and build a farm in their own area for it than have to travel back and forth. Because you're going to be making the quickest path as possible, which more than likely is going to be another tunnel.
Through the nether, yeah.
Right, straight through there, and that's it. You're not really doing any adventuring or anything like that. It's like, I got to get from point A to point B, and that's it. And basically, without being able to move these blocks, that makes the spot where this location is unusable for anything other than this farm. Are they all going to be the exact same size? Are there going to be more blocks in some geodes than the other? Are you going to have to look for that perfect location where you can grow the maximum amount of crystals? I don't know. I would just be able to prefer to make my own crystal farm.
My one gripe about it is it is a really cool looking block. It's that purple and it looks like starry.
Yes, it is a gorgeous block.
And you can't use it. Can't use it anywhere. You know, you'd have to, it's got to stay there. So that's one, my one gripe about it. The crystals, apparently, another thing on the amethyst geodes, can make telescopes. We're getting telescopes now, which kind of conflicts with Optifine. A lot of people play Optifine in a telescope. It just gives you that cheaty zoom, but without the cheaty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it's going to conflict. I know some people are saying, well, Optifine needs to get rid of the zoom key now. Optifine, please do not get rid of the zoom key because of this thing. One, I don't think the telescope's going to get used. Just because most players that are at least running Java are using Optifine, because that's how much Optifine is beloved. Granted, I've mentioned my love for Sodium now, but now that I can have OptiFabric running with Replay Mod and everything like that, I'm using Optifine again. I find it weird that the telescope's squared, but the texture is round when you look through it.
Yeah,
that's a little odd.
you do have a circle to look through. Mm-hmm. You don't get the whole picture like you do in Optifine.
Right, and that's my other gripe, is that you see so little looking through the telescope, and I know it's more realistic than what Optifine does.
Mm-hmm.
And it does zoom in further than Optifine. It feels, not a guarantee, I'm not 100%, it feels like it will look further.
Yeah.
To me, it just kind of feels like it's a bedrock thing.
Right.
It's another item you're going to need to carry in your inventory, and that's where I see people just saying, nope, Optifine, cheaty zoom key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great for bedrock players. Anyone who's on console.
Yes.
That, or have a computer that they can't get Optifine on, the telescope is going to be great for that.
And there are still some vanilla Java players that will not use Optifine, and they're going to love the telescope. It's going to be awesome for them. But for the majority of us, it's going to be, it's another tool I'll never use.
Yeah, but that was about it for the crystal caves. Is there anything I'm forgetting?
No.
I don't think. I mean, crystals look cool.
Yeah.
Aren't there different stages to the crystals?
I didn't see any, but that doesn't mean there's not.
I
could be wrong. I just really wish you could move them. I understand the whole thought process behind it, and normally I might agree, but the older I've got, the more cynical I've become, and it's like, nope, let me go ahead and move spawner blocks now. Why is this not a thing?
Yeah, that won't be a thing.
It'll never be a thing. Oh, there is one thing. So I would like crystals to do damage the way stalactites and stalagmites would do.
Yeah.
It's a pointy, hard surface. I think that could be really cool. Now, they don't have to do the same damage. I could see where stalactites and stalagmites would cause more damage. But a little prick might be kind of cool. Kind of like how berry bushes do.
Yeah. Also, crystals normally come in all different shapes and colors. Mm-hmm. It'd be cool to get some in different colors and possibly get a block out of it, like a crystal block. That might be too glass block, though.
Yeah.
It might be a different glass variant, which isn't... I don't know. I'd rather use glass. It'd be cheaper.
Yeah, we already use clean glass textures everywhere. And Mojang themselves has cleaned the glass texture up over these last couple of years because they understand those little streaks are annoying. So I don't think anyone would want a block that adds streaks back.
That's true. Wouldn't be as transparent.
Mm-hmm. Another big update coming is copper. This is a new ore that can be crafted into a new block. We'll age and turn green over time, just like copper does in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can craft a lightning rod out of it, so no more burning down your wool roof.
Right, if you build with wool.
Or wood.
Or, yeah, wood also.
We turn Fire Tick off every time we play on a server just because of lightning strikes. You can't control when other people are around your builds, and it would stink to sign on and your house be gone.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
The aging process in Exuma's video says took 16 Minecraft days.
That's too short.
Yeah. No. The way it sounded was like it would take a year in game for that to happen. 16 Minecraft days, not enough time. Plus, I really liked the orange look. I don't want it turning green, especially considering it's the same green as prismarine.
Mm-hmm.
So once it turns green, you cannot tell the difference between a prismarine block and a copper block.
And this kind of leads back to the candles that we're getting, how we can hopefully get some wax to preserve that kind of color. Maybe when it's in its middle stages, hit it with the wax and preserve that kind of block.
Yeah.
But we do get stairs and slabs with those also.
Yes, we do. Which, again, why do we not have concrete stairs and slabs? The texture itself it looks like the same purple texture, which I'm not excited about, but I'm kind of hoping that's, again, developer textures. It's not the final look so far.
Yeah, it could be.
The patina effect you talked about where it was just starting to show a little bit of the green. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love if we would be able to be like, okay, I love this look. I'm going to place wax on it and it will forever stay that little patina. That's great. If that's possible, I take back all I'm saying about this turning green effect, and I would be playing with that stuff left and right.
Yeah. Can you imagine, though, if the green copper becomes popular, or if it has more use, how in order to get that, you'd have to just lay them out on the ground and let them turn green before you can actually use that green block.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to like open a shop and sell green copper, you'd have to give it some time before actually selling those or maintaining those blocks.
Yeah. And then we have the lightning rod, which, as far as we can tell, only has the copper color. We never saw it change. I actually think it'll get more use as a actual lightning rod than it will a creeper farm tool.
Yeah.
And that's just because tridents are so powerful when it comes to making charged creeper farms. Granted, it's a lot harder to get a trident than it is to get a lightning rod.
Yeah.
But the fact that I can go around and just smack any old creeper I want when I have channeling on a trident is so much nicer.
Yeah, you got to get the trident, and then you got to get the enchantment.
Yeah.
So
lightning rod will be great for AFK farms, but for me, who's just a spawn of the moment, oh, it's thunderstorming, grab my trident and run out there and start chucking it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, there's people already coming up with charged creeper farms, I imagine, with the lightning rod. I'm definitely going to try to use it as in that sense. You know, I mean, because a lot of times we play with fire tick off and don't have to worry about lightning.
Yeah.
So anytime I'm going to use it, I'm going to try to concentrate that lightning to an area, possibly even mob farms.
Yeah.
You know, maybe to kill mobs.
Yeah, I'm not advocating for turning fire tick back on. No. I think the lightning rod will be a fun afterthought kind of thing. It's definitely not one of those going where I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, my God, this is awesome. And it's kind of like, oh, that's kind of neat. There might be an instance where I actually use that.
Yeah. And what we know now is, yeah, it concentrates the lightning. And we don't know if it works indoors because I know some people might want it
right
for a decoration. And you don't want lightning blowing up your house. You know, yeah. You're in your living room and it strikes your, I don't know, your coat hanger because you have it up on the wall. I'm pretty sure that's going to be the case. You know, if it's indoors or if it has a block above it.
Think about iron farms and the fact that you always had to put blocks above the villagers to make sure lightning wouldn't turn them into witches. Now you can put lightning rods maybe like 12 blocks away or something. And they'll strike there instead of maybe your villagers.
Yeah, good use.
Anyways, let's move on because we're running out of time.
Yeah, I just want to say we don't know what level copper spawns at yet.
That's true.
So it might be deep. It might be around the iron level. I'm thinking the iron level, just not as frequent.
And they mentioned that they were going to be in more vein-like paths than blob-like. Because right now, ore spawn in a blob pattern. Whereas copper is going to spawn in a vein. I don't know if they're going to have that same effect on all the other ore types, but I'm okay with that. I think that's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Next part of the update we have are the mountains. We're getting our goats. This is something they promised us a little while ago when we voted on the mountains. We get our goats and we get our snowier snow, which is a powder snow block, and a player can sink through it, kind of like a trap block.
Yeah. And a goat, they're feisty little creatures, and they want to headbutt everything.
Yes.
And knock you off that mountain.
Mm-hmm. Even other mobs.
They also have a vertical way better than a fox.
Yeah, they got some hops.
They do. Sure. And this brings me back to earlier in the episode when I said I did not like the name Caves and Cliffs update. And that's because I didn't see a single cliff in any of this footage.
Right. We got to get a picture of the mountains. Just one picture.
Yeah.
They look great. And it looked like there's clouds in between them. So I imagine they grow pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no cliffs.
The mountain generation looked amazing. The only problem is me and Bank had that same mountain generation in Comicraft Season 3. We had that generation years ago using the custom land generation formula.
Yeah.
And so I'm already used to that. But when they said cliffs, I was like, great. I love finding a cliff and building a vertical base in it. That's one of my top things to do for a Minecraft base. And I didn't see one picture of a darn cliff. So I was very disappointed. We only saw the one picture of mountains. I would have loved to seen mountain ranges in different biomes. As of right now, it just looked like snowy taiga areas are getting mountains.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a savanna mountain. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it'd be real cool to implement the mountains in every biome.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Maybe not the desert.
Maybe not the desert. That's a little weird, but...
Yeah.
So next is bundles. And this is the part where both me and you were right. You were right in the fact that you guessed cave update.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up getting a cave update. I was guessing inventory update. Not so much guessing, but hoping for an inventory update. And we got a little bit in bundles. And the more I think about bundles, the less I like them.
I'm going the opposite. The more I like them, the more really? I think about them.
Bundles hold 64 unique items. That's it. Then that doesn't mean you can have over 62 items in the thing. It can only be 62 or 64 at a time. I don't know why I kept saying 62. It's only 64 items, but it can be the most random thing of all time. The only good part about bundles is that you can access it in and out of your inventory, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. You can see inside of it.
Well, that's just it. You can see inside of it, but you can't really see inside of it. You can see a representation of how many of one item it thinks it has.
Right.
Where, again, I think the mod I downloaded that lets you see inside a shulker box is still better than this. And I think a bundle is just going to be random junk just piled in there. And you can throw it to another player, right? You don't place it down, which now means that you can't sort it without emptying it. So now you have to empty this thing into your inventory to put it away, or you're just going to have random unstackable bundles everywhere.
Yeah, or go into a chest.
Yeah.
Sort it through there. Didn't really think about that.
It felt like they were trying to do a backpack, but...
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel... The whole inventory system needs a revive. And this felt like, hey, let's give it a shot of adrenaline and see what happens. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then 3 days later, I'm just like, no. No, it's not enough. It's like, give me an enchanted shulker I can access from inventory. I would rather have that than a bundle.
Yeah.
Because it can hold way more.
Been a pretty popular idea.
Yeah, my big thing is having swappable hotbars. I've said this a couple times on the show, and I think that fixes item inventory without changing item inventory. If you're not going to add new slots to hold weapons and tools and bundles or anything like that, then let me lay out a hotbar, lay out a hotbar, lay out a hotbar, and then I can switch between these three hotbars. Alt tab or control tab or something like that to allow me to do a quick flip, cycle through hotbars. That solves the inventory management so fast.
Before I get on my thoughts of the bundle,
mm-hmm.
Tubfan had a great inventory idea of putting an enchantment on leggings, because leggings, you don't have many enchantments.
Mm-hmm.
Having a pocket enchantment to where 1, 2, and 3 gives you a whole new line of inventory, like 9 slots per level of pocket.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a level 3 pocket mod on your pants, you get like a full double chest of inventory space. I thought that was a genius idea. Having said that, the bundles, I'm starting to like more and more just because of the fact, like, if someone would ever die in front of you, you have all these items that you're like, oh my God, I got to make a chest. I got to get this. Yeah, ready for people. A lot of people, they have an ender chest ready with a shulker box that's empty to easily pick up these items. But if you have a bundle, you can just run around or even sit in the spot where they died and just pick them up and throw them in the bundle and then just throw the bundle at the player. Say, here you go. Here's all your stuff. It's all in this one thing. And I was like, man, that could be useful. When I was building those flying machines,
mm-hmm.
I had mine carts on each one of them, and I always had to go back and get more mine carts because they always took up my inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And I can throw 64 in one of these bags, and boom, that I solved it. So the more I think about it, the more useful it's getting, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a good bit of these. Now, I don't think, it doesn't look like you can stack bundles either.
No.
You know, it's its own personal item.
Yeah.
In a slot.
I definitely think there will be a shulker box full of bundles in everybody's ender chest.
Yes.
And I think people will carry a single or double bundle on them at all times, like they do a water bucket and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
My only problem is it's taking up inventory space. Another item, yes, it's there to save inventory space, like you said. If you have minecarts, multiple of them, they take up some space. I don't know.
We'll have to see. I mean, it's still early.
It's like scratching the surface of a scab. It's not fully healed yet. You can tell I'm so frustrated with the inventory management problem. Really hoping. It's a step in the right direction. I will give them that.
Yeah.
They obviously have heard our complaints and they're trying stuff. But I wanted a full-on makeover and all I got was the powder cheeks.
We should probably move on from the bundles.
I ranted to the bundle too much.
The next part, the last part we have is the archaeology and artifacts.
Yes.
Before I get into I'll explain it first. These have dig site locations.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find the brushes? They have brushes.
I think you're going to craft them, but they were just found at this location in the video.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure where the brushes came from. The brushes help you find artifacts. There was two different brush colors that we saw, but this allows you to shave off a block that hides the artifact within the archaeology site. Archaeology is a hard word to say.
Just because it's Monday. You were saying it fine the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, so these artifacts you find, you can find artifacts. It looks like you can find diamond blocks in some of these blocks. But the artifacts can be used on a clay pot also. So we're getting clay pots. Now, at the beginning, I was going to say this kind of feels a little too modded.
Yeah.
To me, it is pretty cool. It also shows me that they're trying to touch on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got a little bit of everything in this update. You got your redstone, you got new blocks, and you got this archaeology artifacts that make exploring a lot more fun.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
I agree with you. I don't want to gripe too much because this is something I actually do like.
Mm-hmm.
But this update feels like a bunch of stuff that I'll play with once, and that's kind of it. I think clay bots could be really cool. I really do. And they made sure to put out there that, hey, what they look like now is just developer imagery. Texture artists haven't gone through and done anything, so mind the developer look to it. The clay pot looked weird, didn't feel Minecrafty, felt modded. I don't know if you can store anything in the clay pot or clay pot. It'd be cool if you can.
As far as we know, it's just decoration. Like, hey, look at my pot, I found these artifacts. It looked like there was just different, the artifacts look like different items. The only thing you can use them for is putting them on the clay pot.
Right.
So that's all we really know about the artifacts. Maybe it's like a collect-em-all type of deal.
Another thing, people were talking about using the brushes to make gravel and dirt, half slabs and everything. I don't think that's going to be possible.
No, me neither.
I would love it to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what those brushes are going to do. I think if you start brushing and then you stop, I think it's going to break the artifact in there and the block's just going to disappear.
Yeah.
So.
Because if you notice, while it brushes, it's going down a pixel at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, at least I would think, you would think it'd be very difficult to have, you know, different variants of that block.
Yeah.
In, you know, one pixel differences everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It would make great for landscaping.
Oh, yeah. It'd be beautiful.
Yeah. But we got so many great blocks for landscaping in this. In this update anyway.
Mm-hmm. Again, I would love gravel half slabs, dirt half slabs, any kind of concrete powder half slabs. I don't think these brushes are going to do that.
Yeah, I doubt it.
At least right now, I don't think these brushes are going to do that.
Maybe if people push it enough, they might bring it, give it to us. But yeah, as far as I can tell, I don't think it looks like the block's just going to break.
Yeah.
After you're done with it.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe you can't shave off any block. You know, maybe it has to be a block with an artifact in it. We don't know yet.
Very much. You could go up to any random block, start shaving, and it doesn't do anything. But if it does start shaving, then you know there's an artifact there.
Yeah, I didn't notice at least him shaving a block that didn't have anything in it.
Well, you could see it personally looked at a stone block and an obsidian block, and it didn't do anything. Whether they were clicking on the block or not, we don't know.
Yeah.
But to me, that felt like an obvious, hey, you can't do these block, only the gravel and the dirt block.
Mm-hmm. Possibly sand.
Possibly sand.
Maybe concrete powder.
Yeah.
Though I wouldn't see concrete powder being at a archaeology site, so.
Never know.
Probably not. Yeah, never know.
I don't know why you'd be repairing clay plots at an archaeology site, but thought they would ship that stuff to the lab.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm not going to knock it too much because I think clay pots are really cool. And I think once the texture is done correctly and hopefully it gets some kind of use, maybe it could be a good replacement to a cauldron if you want.
Yeah.
I think that would be really nice. Other than that, a lot of this update, I just feel it's, I'm going to visit once, get what I need, go away. The amethyst geodes, the fact that I have to go there doesn't make me happy. The fact that I might not be able to destroy the geode if it's in my way of a build kind of doesn't make me happy. Also, the fact that these caves are huge, and I get that's going to be awesome for exploring. But as every multiplayer player knows, the first thing you do when you get to your new base location is light the caves up underneath your base, because it causes lag and it causes issues for your server mates. Well, now these caves are ginormous.
Yeah, they're even bigger.
And you gotta light them up.
Yep.
Not to mention deadlier than ever.
Yeah, it could be an issue on multiplayer servers.
Season 2 of CommonCraft. I keep going back to this because we've done a lot of this stuff before. We played on a custom map, the Discworld, and it had custom caves underneath it, and they were huge. And it looked sweet. But I'll be darned if it didn't take weeks to light up every cave underneath your base.
Yeah.
It got to the point where at one time I got so tired of it, I just started walling off caves and said, yep, that section's going to have mobs spawning it, and I'll just go the other way, despawn the mobs, and come back if it's that much of an issue.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of people are going to go cave base ideas here for the next update.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty excited to see. I know we're almost done, but before you read us out, which is something you normally say instead of me, we are expecting new things to develop with new update, and we're going to be covering everything. So if you guys stay tuned and keep listening to the show, we're going to cover everything we can. Give you guys our thoughts and let you know if we see anything that can be improved or something that's not brought up.
And this is something we've talked about before. So the Half Stack was originally supposed to be a weekly episode that me and Jimbo would do to counter snapshots. Obviously, we record our show like either Sunday nights or Monday nights, and then it comes out on Wednesdays, so we usually miss brand new information for our show. So we were going to do quick Half Stack episodes for patrons to listen to stuff like that, and because we started this when there wasn't a lot of snapshots coming out, it became a monthly show. Well, once snapshots start rolling on 117, it'll more than likely not be a monthly show anymore, but be a weekly show that's 10, 15 minutes of me and Jimbo quickly talking about what's happening in the snapshot, just like we did on the bonus episode right after Minecraft Live.
Yeah, still in the cards.
Not a lot of editing, just quick, dirty, let's talk. Caves and cliffs. I'm not going to say I don't like it, because I think Mojang worked hard and it's got some really cool stuff in it, and it has the potential to be a really cool update. It's just not what I wanted, but I can't gripe it. It's like I said, it's got potential. I love the Warden and the Deep Dark and all that, even though it's going to scare the bejeebus out of me to go down there. Bundles feel a little disappointment, but I like seeing Mojang listen and try.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that it shows that they're trying means way more than the bundle effect. Yeah, I may not like the bundles, but at least I know they're working on something, and maybe the next time it'll be exactly what I'm looking for. So GG's to them. I think this is going to be a good update. It's what people wanted for a long time.
Kind of needed a little cave update.
Yeah.
But this is pretty big. a lot bigger than I thought it would be.
Yeah. All the new mobs, I absolutely love.
Yeah.
I think everyone's going to love the axolotl. I think it's pretty much already become the Minecraft mascot for now.
True.
Though I'm going to have goats in my base just to knock people out.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I think that's going to do it for today's show. Before Jimbo reads his house, I want to say a huge thank you to all of our patrons who are supporting the show. Our milk level patrons are Obni, Croc, Obeep, Stoneficker, the official CCL, Viperous Tuna, and YDYT. If you too would like access to exclusive benefits and hours of extra content each month, please consider joining at patreon.com/thewitheringeffect.
And if you like this show, you can share it with all of your friends and on social media. If you listen on Spotify, follow us. Or if you listen on Apple Podcasts, leave us a nice review. Doing any of these really helps the show reach more listeners. If you would like to get in contact with us, send an email to podcast@thewitheringeffect.com. Tweet us, leave a voice message, or join our Discord, where you can have a chat with everyone who works on the show and fellow listeners. All the links are in the show notes.
This show has been brought to you by Jimbo and myself, but also our digital producer, Carl. He helps make sure the show ends up where it should be. The amazing music you hear in the intro and outro is created by the one and only Decoy. Everyone's social media info can be found in the show notes. You guys have been awesome. Thank you so much for getting withered with us. You should probably go drink your milk now. Bye.
See you guys.